With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, y'all? Kofi Kingston here, and I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks, depending on what that drink is, preferably non-alcoholic, you know?
How's it going? The Celtic Warrior, Seamus.
Wardlow here.
Soda.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
I would love to have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Maple syrup.
Bye-bye.
I would never have a drink with Wrestling on the Rocks.
Cheers, fans, for Sports Network. Say what?
Sorry, go ahead.
You saying you have some more of your sandwich?
I said, sorry, go ahead. So if you want to do that reset for Fans for Sports Network, I apologize.
Oh, it's all good. Pour a drink for Fans for Sports Network. Take a bite of your sandwich. Thumb it if you got it. And we're going to hit up the tail end here of Raw. We had Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark defeating Tegan Nox and Natalya. I like Tegan and Natalya as a team. This, again, was cut from Hulu, so I don't know how they're functioning as a team. But aesthetically and in my mind, I feel like they would work really well together. And I did see Natty's gear that night. The white and black looked pretty fucking slick.
And shorts.
And the shorts, which, I mean, she's a beast. She should be flashing a little bit of those muscles. She's got... She's jacked and she's lean now too. Yeah. So it's not like,
and she's proud of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
She looks incredible. So yeah, show it off and look scary at the same time. I'm all here for it. Natty can do no wrong in my book. Apart from that, did Natty take the loss?
Yeah. Yeah. She was the one to take the submission loss. Yeah.
Damn it. What do you think of the match?
But you look great doing it.
Yeah. I tell you this, you know, again, since we've had our Natty conversations over and over again, watching her be Mama Bear, you know, it does take the sting off of the stuff that doesn't look right. But when she has now the opportunity to lay her shit in, like, and not in the wrestling term to do all her moves, but like actually just perform wrestling, She's looking good, man. She's looking good. She's looking fast, sound. Which is always great. It's just that Mama Bear stuff it's not fluid, you know, all the time. But I thought she looked great. I enjoyed her performance. I wish her and Tegan looked a little bit better together. But they, because they're still like two singles wrestling together.
Yeah.
But hey, this is probably Tegan's longest stretch being healthy, knock on wood. So that's good too.
Yeah. I do think also over time with Natty having the workhorse gym and the ring, I have a feeling that that's part of the reason why she's becoming a lot more crisp with some of these people is it's not 100% happening on TV. Yeah. She's getting these motherfuckers to her house and saying, we're going to run some drills. And we're going to both be snapping. So
they just put another picture out today. Jey Uso in the mix. All that.
Jey Uso was over there?
Mm-hmm.
God, so fucking cool, dude. I think it is cool. They're building some, like a tag team division somewhat. It's a little clunky. Natty's tagged with everybody in the world, but like, there's a reason for like Shayna and Zoe to be together. Candace and Kayden are doing their thing. Like, we had the tag match earlier. I forget who was in it already. Yeah, Chelsea and Piper, Indy, Candace. We have tag teams to be facing. I wonder if we're not building towards a fatal four-way women's tag team match at Mania, or even how they did the year or two ago where they did the tag team. What'd you call it? The match you liked? It was the tag team showcase?
Yeah, the showcase, yep.
Yeah, they could do that with the women this year, and I think it'd be sick, and it would work.
Because it was Ashanti. It was Ashanti, the Adonis, not Jey Uso. Apologies for mullet stereotyping.
Ashanti, was it the workhorse thing? That was way different. Yeah. Ashanti needs it way more than Jey Uso.
Oh yeah, for sure. I just saw the haircut and was like, "Oh, that's Jey Uso." But then I zoomed in. I was like, "Oh, that's Ashanti." Dawkins was there again.
Good. Good.
Yeah,
before we talk main event, was there any backstage stuff that I missed? I know they had some gender backstage stuff. They had the Seth backstage thing. Seth walked in with a kid. I don't remember if there's anything else backstage that really stood out.
Yeah, we don't know where he got that kid.
Yeah.
He just grabbed a kid.
Because isn't like his kid really young still?
That's the kid, dude. The kid was born in COVID. Think about it. That was fucking 4 years ago.
That's a big four-year-old, man.
Yeah.
And not even four. Because it was she walked out in Money in the Bank 2020.
Yeah.
So, like, it was born towards the end of – so she just turned three. That was a big kid. Yeah, it might be somebody else. Yeah.
No, dude, that's their kid, and that kid is born to be a champion. That's why she's big.
True story.
No, and championship blood right there.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be better if he just stole some fucking kid?
Like Montez did and ended up in all the fucking intros with it now? Bullshit, dude. Bishop's muted. What'd you say?
I dropped my mic. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. There you go. It's all good. Technical difficulties. It's only episode one. Nobody worry. It's just episode one. But all right, main event, Seth freaking Rollins against Jinder Mahal, who brought out Veer and Sangha of Indusheer. Veer's put on a little bit of weight. He was a little more cut last time we saw him. I still think we're missing something with Veer. Yeah, he stopped showing up. I do think we're still missing something vital to Veer. His story is in and of itself remarkable. And we're really going with a very classic Indian character. They are both big and domineering, and I do think they work well as a tag team. I just think we could be a little more creative here with how the three of them are portrayed and interact with each other, but I do think they should be a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. Outside of that, dude, people were hot for Jinder here. They wanted Jinder to win. Seth has been saying over and over again that he's made the championship the most important championship in all of wrestling. And it's just so evident that it's just not true.
No.
And as good as Seth is, fucking Jinder, right after Seth gets hit in the fucking head with a briefcase, Jinder hits him with the Khaleesi. Different.
Yeah.
Hits him with the Colossus after being smashed in the fucking head with a briefcase, and he kicked out at like 1.5, dude. No one's kicked out of the Colossus. Randy Orton went out to it on one every time. This Super Seth thing, this could be the end of people supporting him. He could start getting booed here pretty quick. I think you can't just be burying motherfuckers' finishes like that. And I think that, dude, the whole finish was bad. It was so bad that as soon as that happened, I was like, what the fuck?
Hmm.
And it spoiled the whole thing. Even when Seth won, no one like cheered. They were like, well, I guess we get to sing the song now. It's more evident than ever that the song is more over than his character right now.
Yeah.
It's not because of his ability. It's because of the booking, you know?
Yeah. Is this the Hogan must? Is this the Hogan must pose of it? You know, like it has to end with the song going.
Yeah. 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 The audience must sing, you know, Hogan must pose. The Super Cena era that people were really frustrated with. The 6 years of Roman getting his ass kicked and then hitting one spear and one Superman punch and being done. Those were the things that people turn on because it just doesn't make sense. Where the whole match might make sense and then we see a thing where we go, oh, and it's not built right, right? If he had hit the Colossus and then he kicked out and then they hit him with a briefcase, and then he kicked out, then you'd be like, holy shit, what's going on? But to do it all at once in fucking 10 seconds.
And that's what I was going to say earlier. Like, it was so quick. We see it all the time, right? There's an interference, a finisher, and then the guy rolls so far away after he hits the finisher that the climb back is enough time for the opponent to kick out. Completely on board with that. I was so in that moment. That Jinder won because it was the timing of it. Briefcase, Colossus immediate. Holy shit. Number one, I was here for the chaos, right? Like, just do it. Like, fucking do it. Let's figure it out afterwards, right? Because everything's hot right now. But then the match got me there. The match got me there where I could believe that this was going to happen because it's not, there's one thing WWE really doesn't do is a gratuitous victory to change the story, right? They try to make it big, and then this is where we're going, right? So, like, as big as Drew was in Cardiff, as big as Sammy was in Montreal, they weren't going to do it just because the moment was. It's got to continue. But this match and the scuttlebutt that happened around it with how flat that Seth has been was perfect. It was the perfect timing to go, you know what? Fucking right. Let's do it for the chaos. We'll figure it out on the back end. And they didn't pull the trigger. And from to your point, man, from that moment on, the rest of the match, how it ended, so fucking clunky, disjointed. It just didn't feel like it was a deflation.
Yep. It was deflated, and it just felt like, well, I guess we got to finish the match now. And everyone sat with, like, arms crossed. And then Seth wins, and everyone went, okay, let's sing, I guess.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't a big celebration of Seth beating the bad guy. It was, God, they fucked Jinder again. And they fucked his finish. You know what I mean? Like, Clump, what'd you think of this?
It's I like Jinder. Well, I like Jinder more and more because, like, the dude does, like, he's a heel and he does the shit well. And I like that the Colossus protected. I like the idea that it might happen. Yeah.
Like, I'm just shunting over here. You keep going.
Yeah. But yeah, that it went the way it did just sucked. It was needless. The booking was bad. There's just, I would have rather this be a schmoss from the start where, like, you know, like everyone gets involved, it turns into a big blow up, it's pointless, and it's 5 minutes of just fucking around.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, now you didn't get the match, and now what? And then Seth can say something. So, you know what, man? I'm not giving you the match. If you're going to do that, forget it. Then make Jinder have to earn it back, you know? But now you get – I feel like you're going to end up with a fatal four-way – or not fatal four-way, but I feel like you're going to end up with a four-way in the Rumble where it's going to be like a Jinder, Punk, Cody,
McIntyre,
and Drew. That's going to be the final four. You're going to have Jinder and Drew looking at each other like, ooh, you know? But
we used to be bandmates.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then some of the commentary can be like Drew's fuck. I know, bring Heath back, motherfucker, for the Rumble. Imagine that.
I'd be happy with 28. That. Yeah, that'd be a great
28.
Pop.
Yeah, 28. Drew and I got Jinder
kids. In there. Yeah, I'm a member.
I'm a man. Woman, man. How's it going?
Yeah.
No, I tell you. You know, again, as you guys are talking, I'm remembering the match in these little steps, right? Indashir comes out with him, and my immediate thought was, okay, we're getting the chaos with the interference. So not only is Jinder going to win, but he's going to be illegitimate when he wins because the guys cheated for him, right? That was my first thought. Because once I say that to myself, I go, oh, and Seth has no body. Seth has no backers to this. Seth has no buddies that are going to come protect him. That don't exist. And then the match, like I said, the match got me there to like, holy shit, Jinder's going to win this. Then Damian Priest comes out. And you think that there's a chance that all this fuckery is going to happen. We're going to have something. And at the end of the day, with all this chaos that happens, with a really solid match that can have you believe Seth loses here, that when it's all said and done, it all stays the same. Nothing better, nothing worse. It's just really, really deflating.
Yeah. And at this point, we could not see Jinder until the Rumble. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
But how much does that cool him off? You know, the promo with The Rock, you know, the promo on Raw afterwards, like get to the mat to fucking again, do it, not just for the chaos, but because it was that hot and it made sense. That's all I asked. You know, again, my problem with Cody, like it made sense for people cheering, but not what was on TV. Everything Jinder did on TV made sense for him to win that fucking title, especially who the opponent has been and how stale it's been. Like it just it would work. It would work.
Now I don't know where we're going with Seth. Clump, overall, as we wrap it up, where do you feel about the status of Seth as a champion?
I still stick by the idea that he was given a pretty shit task and he's kind of stuck with it.
Yes, and I feel like that they've done him a disservice by keeping it on him this whole time.
Yes.
Who is Seth without the title?
Somebody who's talented and can chase it. Because maybe him who's had multiple titles, who's had all this, saying, I lost that. That meant something to me. I'm chasing it now. That could be cool. And that might put some weight on the title because it's not working.
Can he be a Brock Lesnar or Nakamura where he's a side quest guy to build talent, or does he have to chase or hold? Because if that's a shit spot to be in, that means you have no value anywhere else. And I think he's more talented than that, but I don't think his character work is more talented than that.
I think he could be that, but I think it would also that would be a better way to do what they want to do here, which is build this belt up. Like, I want that belt. I want my belt back.
Right. Right.
You know.
I just think that if you're crushing everyone along the way, it doesn't mean as much. I mean, you want it in a tournament and the whole reason it showed up, I think by flipping it around a little bit, plus we have a whole bunch of fucking titles that are just on one person forever.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer have that feeling that anything can happen in the WWE.
Well, that's in wrestling generally right now. It's like, you don't, with the exception of Impact, you don't know if somebody's going to fucking drop a belt during a normal show. And we could do. We need that once in a while.
That's what Jinder did to AJ. Remember, he won it on a SmackDown in fucking, or was it AJ taking it off Jinder?
In the UK, AJ took it off Jinder in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah, and when AJ was US champion and KO took it off him in Madison Square Garden at a live show, I think it was a mistake. Like I think it was literally an accident, but it happened. I think that some of these titles that are not your main event titles, and this is not. Need a little action to build interest, mm-hmm. So it becomes that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hear Seth versus Jinder's going to main event, and you go, I don't know if I got to watch it. You see all the stuff Jinder's doing, you're like, oh, they might do it. They might give it to Jinder. And then they don't, and you go, yeah, I don't have to fucking watch Seth matches, man. If he's just going to fucking crush all my guys every time,
you don't need to care about it.
And if you want to see it kayfabe and all of a sudden be like, well, they're not going to do it on that show. It's going to have to be a bigger show. Well, then what the fuck am I watching the other shows for?
If Jinder was in that match without his last two promos beforehand, you automatically go, Seth's going to win, right? But yep. when he built himself in such a short time to get to the main event, like, it felt like something. And the something turns out to be nothing. And that's, again, like, I can't harp on that enough. Like you've been saying, like, to not give this title some flip-floppery, or show that it is desired and obtainable. Because if not, like you said, it's basically just gear for Seth now. Like, it doesn't mean anything to anyone else. They all want it because Seth, not even because Seth has it, but because it's a title. Like, I want to be champion.
Holds up his pants.
Because there's nothing else to fight for. Because yeah, there's nothing else.
I want to be champion. I want to be champion. I want to be champion. Yeah. I want to be champion. Like, nah.
And because I can't have Roman, then I'm going to go for Seth.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we've said before, Cody's already said, I'm not interested in Seth's belt. I'm interested in the important one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we've degraded it in every way that we can. So at a certain point, in order to give it life, it needs to have a life and not just be sitting on a shelf. And unfortunately, Seth is a shelf right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not giving it a purpose. He's just giving it a milestone. That's all he's giving it. So they can say, oh, the first one held it this long. But without somebody saying they want it because of sake of it, because it means something. Right now, we only have people who just want to take it off Seth because they don't like Seth.
Yes.
No one wants it because it means something to them. It means nothing to anybody except Seth. It's my precious. You know what I mean? So I just want it off you because I just don't want you to have it. It's just kind of weird, man. It's weird. And I felt like this was really the fucking moment. But at the same time, they got us talking. Don't hinder gender. Fucking love gender.
Yeah, but now in a rematch, nothing would go different because the best shot was taken. And, you know, I mean, what's going to hurt more than a Colossus after getting hit in the head with a briefcase?
Yep. Yep.
So yep. They spoiled a rematch, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see Jinder go through that again. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's weird because, yeah, to do it that way was just like, well, fuck them.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah.
And it doesn't make me more interested in some sort of CM Punk match with the two of them. Because right. I know a lot of people are trying to say that. That's the biggest match you could ever do is CM Punk and Seth. Why? I'd rather see Randy versus Seth. Or not Randy versus Seth. Randy versus Cody. Rather see Roman Rock. Rather see Sammy Roman again. Rather see Sammy KO. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see Sammy Drew. Like.
I want to see CM Punk wrestle with his Enigma. Or his ego.
Yeah. They did announce he's going to be wrestling at Perth, but they haven't said who. Do you think?
I thought they just said he's going to be there.
Really? I thought they said they're going to wrestle. They might just have him there. They're doing so little with him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it's about? Do you think it's...
I think it's because they know.
He's not what he was, and he wasn't that great. He's he's a built up enigma for a very specific set of people, and that's great, but they're not going to be super happy. And I think what's more tragic is he's going to go in and either he's going to look like shit and they're going to be like, wow, that sucks. Or it's going to be this group of people blaming everyone around him because he's the best in the world. And at the end of the day, he's a 40-something-year-old dude who's been out of the game for a while, and at this point, he's got his ass kicked out of a pretty cush job.
Yeah, I think they know. I think they saw what they needed to see. I think they've heard what they've needed to hear, and they know what they're doing. You know, what happens when AEW gets a shiny new toy? Look at my toy. Look at my toy. Look at my toy. Look at my toy. And they don't fucking stop. But WWE knows what they're doing. And we've talked about it all the time. They produce a TV show. They don't have a wrestling sandbox where they just throw shit out there. So if it doesn't make sense, they don't put it in. And to your point about, you know, building those final fours, what's the promo for next week, right? Cody face-to-face with CM Punk. So now you have your round robin of those three of Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, CM Punk. You know, they're now in tune with talking to each other on TV. They're not overexposing him because I think they know he's limited. And potentially from the Dominic match, they know he's limited in the ring.
Yeah.
That's my hunch too. Because, I mean, they've had him out here like every other week for like one segment. And it's felt a little bit like, yeah, they're not trying to use him too much because they know this is a pretty thin veil. So...
They did it with Ronda too, right? Ronda had this up and down exposure, her entire contract of how much they wanted to give us, they pull back, give us, pull back, that by the end of it, they ran out the contract and it just was what it was. They're going to do that with Punk too. I don't think they care how many times he wrestles or how many times they talk. Will they get the money out of him that they're spending through his merch and ticket sales? Yeah. Bet your ass they will. And they're going to do it as smart as they always do. And at the end of the day, Punk will get what he wants and they'll get what they want. And it's not going to be to the detriment of the WWE and their product. It's just not how they operate.
Yep. I think so too. I just want to know if you guys noticed that too, because he's not come out much and he's not in a program and he's not said much and we don't know who he's fighting ever. He's had one match and it was at a live show and apparently it was pretty short. So made me think. But yeah, with that, I'm ready to do last call if you guys are.
Let's do it.
I think we beat it into the ground. I think we always do. Always like coming over here and beating off with you guys. A couple of my bros.
Okie cookie. The Okie cookie of the IWC.
Oh, yeah. You guys can try and fight Clump. You will not. He has made sure of that. He is off the grid. He is living in a dungeon. It is amazing.
Yeah.
But Bishop, where people find you?
At TW Takes Podcast on Twitter and twtakespodcast.com. I have a podcast and I'm on this show.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Also, if you do find Clump, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the day if somebody goes, "Hey, you're from that show I watch," and I'll just be like, "Oh, fuck."
Dude, that happened to me one time. It was weird.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I was outside of Raw in Phoenix. I was walking by the stadium because I was thinking about going to go in and be a seat filler. But I was like feeling kind of tired because that morning I drove out there to meet Kevin Owens. It was like a 6 a.m. thing. And I was like, I don't know, I'm feeling kind of tired now. I don't know if I'm going to feel. And then I felt like, hey, if I'm not sure if I want to go inside this building to watch a wrestling show, probably should lean into that. There's probably something really wrong with me because I would give a lot to go in there. And so I ended up going home and falling asleep before the show even started. So probably safe, probably good. But as I was walking by, someone went, "Oh my God, that's Marsh." And I was like, "What the fuck?" And I was all like, "Did I go to school with someone over here? What's going on?" Someone's like, "Oh, I watch your show." And I was like, "Well, fucking awesome."
Wait, was it a lady?
Yeah.
Hispanic?
Tune in?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I know who it was.
Yeah? Did they go to Raw?
She told me. Yeah.
Yeah? Awesome. It was great. Well, that explains why she didn't want a photo. But it was cool. But yeah, guys, you can find me at Ref Marsh on Venmo, at Marsh Ref on Instagram. You can find me on Pro Wrestling Spotlight with John Arezzi at youtube.com/Pro Wrestling Spotlight. You can talk me, see me chopping it up with Medusa over at youtube.com/Queen of Carnage. And outside of that, I'm floating around. I'm doing stuff. I'm like a nugget. You can't flush me.
Yeah.
Guys, we'll be back tomorrow night for a brand new episode one right here in the dive bar of the IWC. Guys, that's the last call.
Cheers.
Producer Lady here. Thanks for tuning in. Continue to support and buy us a drink by putting the I in subscribe and reviewing our podcast. And cheers to Fans First Sports Network for keeping the dive bar lights on.
I would never have a drink with wrestling on the rock.